Hi, this is Kara with Finding Joy with Kara. Today I'm joined by my amazing friend, Iva Nasser. I had the privilege of meeting Iva over a decade ago. And sometimes when you meet someone, you know it's not the first time. She felt familiar before I even saw her. Iva is one of these amazing souls that radiates and lights up a room. And technically, I can say that we were introduced by Liz Gilbert. Iva is mentioned in Liz's book, Eat, Pray, Love. So please join me in this conversation. This is likely to be one of many with Iva. And Iva has written her own memoir titled From Rifles to Roses, Memories and Miracles.
There are so many different things that I'd love to cover. Let me first read the intro paragraph of your author's introduction in the book. In my life, I have woven tenets of generosity and hospitality with the marvels of imagination, the technology of love, and the mind of all possibilities. I have discovered my superior abilities with this design. The concentration of this alignment is now my focus, my life, a memoir of miracles, and as my sister puts it, a life of shimmering possibilities. What a lovely thing for a sister to say, first of all. And technology of love. First time I've ever heard those words in that order. Love this. The mind of all possibilities, marvels of imagination. So you are one of these incredible people. And I think Liz Gilbert referenced you in her memoir, Eat, Pray, Love, with the term that she has a friend who has a bat phone to the universe, I believe was her description.
Leave it to Liz.
Yeah. And I believe this to be true, given my experiences with you. And I would love for you to extrapolate on, when did you know that you had this connection to the cosmos? And so when did you know, at what age, or something different that you knew was, not everybody's like this?
First of all, I begin the author's introduction in my book with welcome to my world.
Yes.
So welcome to my world, and thank you for welcoming me into your world of Finding Joy with Kara. It's really beyond, truly beyond words, the privilege that I feel right now to be with you. So to answer your question, first of all, you've known me for several years and you probably know enough about me in this regard. And I talk about it in my book a little bit, that age is so relative to me and it's part of my message to the world in how to construct, so to speak, our new world order, our new paradigm that's in the making, based on ceremony and ritual and recognition and celebration, but not confined to false protocols of age and so on and so forth. So that's a little bit in the backdrop of the story along the way. And I intentionally, in writing my book, did not make very specific references to what age I was, at what point, or what year it was, just to still have substance to a story without missing those details. Having said this, I also appreciate the value of time and passage of time and the experience and wisdom that comes with growth, maturity, and so on. So I was teeny tiny when I first, and probably as most children experience this in a very subliminal way, knew that I was connected, as you put it, with the cosmos, definitely with invisible presence that was within our world and definitely beyond our universe. So as a little kid, I had an imagination which was continually being fed and nourished despite the confinements and fears of war that I was growing up in. And also mixed in with imagination was a separate experience that brought imaginary friends that to me were very real. And they would channel themselves typically through my stuffed animals. So to the someone looking in, they saw a little girl sitting in her room playing with her dolls and stuffed animals while I was having ongoing council meetings. And at that age, I wasn't defending myself or even thinking I had to explain anything because it was a real experience. But honestly, in the kind of conscious, more deliberate way that most of us realize that we have maybe a deeper experience of communication that's beyond just using words with people around us, this feeling of channeling and receiving messages and tie in with the seer in me and what I later discovered is on a spectrum of maybe psychic abilities, tapped in as a messenger of hope to the world, bringing in messages, learning how to deliver them, and helping others how to receive them. That whole journey in a very conscious, deliberate way happened pretty much post-college, undergraduate years, like in that young adulthood period.
So you were exploring your gifts that you knew, your intuitive nature, you're exploring how to use these as tools to help others in that holistic sense. And you do refer to yourself later in your book as an ambassador of hope.
That came to me as pretty much an assignment. I don't know what this means to everyone listening in, what a calling is, or if you kind of step into your destiny or stumble into it, not necessarily knowing exactly what you're going after. You know, like my parents would have loved for me to become an architect or a doctor or teacher. And, you know, I end up going through the route of reflexologist, massage therapist, and then being anointed through a very mystical and divine experience with the kind of assignment of ambassador of hope. And we can get to this a little bit more if you want in detail and kind of in a story I can share. And you know, it almost brings me to tears right now talking about this because I take it lightly in that it has to be an enlightened and fun assignment, but I don't take it lightly in that it's a very important ambassadorship to have, especially right now in our collective with what we're all going through. No exceptions, no one is left out. So to be able to cater real hope to ourselves and each other.
Oh, it's very important.
And it's very important.
Let's talk about your experience in curing and cultivating your gifts.
So these days, and not just these days, I'm sure for decades, but there's an entire resource out there when we open up to any skill that we're ready to tackle. A lot of resources on, you know, how to communicate with your angels and how to step into the quantum mind and go beyond. So all of those resources are there. At the time, I also did not know that these tools were out there. And a book by the name, small book by the name of Angel Speak, one word with an E at the end, literally fell in my lap at the library one day. And long story short, it basically is a very simple formula for how to open up and communicate with what these two siblings, these two sisters, because they came a little bit more from the Christian faith in a very universal application of the language. But to them, it was communication with the angels. And so I found out that they teach a class, and I sent out for the flyer, and the flyer came, and I tucked it away. Many months, a long time comes to pass, and it was time for me to make a change in my life. And I started exploring, where am I going to go? Am I going to move? And I came back from a trip and opened up a journal or a book at the time, and there's that flyer that I had tucked away. And I remember just having this feeling like the room went into kind of became an echo chamber, and I just felt like something was catching my attention. There was a resonance. I looked at the flyer and I thought, oh, I wonder if this is what I need to be doing. And the title of the workshop was catered to teaching the teachers, which appealed to me as well at the time, teaching the teachers how to communicate with the angels. And I did not have an orientation to anything like that at all. It really was something that was presented to me and started catching my attention to something that innately felt familiar, but I had not grown into it consciously yet. So as I reflected on this workshop, got up from my desk, went to the other room to get something from the fridge. And this is one of those moments where no option but to believe that these things happen, because it happened and there was no other rational explanation for it. I opened the fridge, and right at my feet was the flyer. Somehow it had relocated. It wasn't static. It didn't stick to what I was wearing. And just things like that, Kara, that over the years I have learned not to justify or over-explain, but to share the story, because the impact of sharing a story, as you well know, does the work it needs to do right. in how we receive it and how we, you know, process.
It's so, like having a billboard in your face, or driving behind a car that has a bumper sticker on it, like, there's your sign.
Yes. Yes.
If you're not paying
yeah.
attention.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'll fast forward, because there are just so many details, and they're all just as juicy, you know, as the last one. But needless to say, it caught my attention and I knew I needed to go. And I did everything backwards with it. Before I called to find out if there's still space left, I had already booked my airline ticket. And, you know, like, it was just everything. It created its own experience. And I end up going to Litchfield, Connecticut for, I think, a week-long retreat where I basically was reintroduced to my true self. Had no idea. And at the time, I would joke and say, if my grandparents knew I was doing this, they'd turn over in their grave, you know, because it just felt so unusual. You know, what am I doing, you know, opening up to talking to spirits and guides and angels? And within just that first 24 hours, I began having profound experiences in my private room that was assigned to me, and so on and so forth. And that's when the message, the Ambassador of Hope, came in that experience, when I started having open dialogues with voices coming through that presented confirmation and proof repeatedly. So I was making choices on a guided path, basically, is the journey, my journey. You know, you go through rites of passage in life, typical rites of passage we go through, depending on your culture and lineage, different rituals around that, but they're pretty universal. You know, you go from passage of time and experience, and then you start coming into your signature mark and calling in this life.
I think some people know what that is at an early age, or just you.
And I was about to say, it's not always apparent.
Right.
Right. And for me, you know, it wasn't obvious to me from a very young age, except that I was living experiences that later, many years later, would come back to me in memories and inspire the outline for my book, a collection of memories and miracles that, you know, they're a summary of both the rich lineage that I came from. I have been blessed to have grown in a very loving, warm, nurturing home. My war was on the outside. I know some people, their war is on the inside of the home. But just that, the generosity and the hospitality that I grew up with, the lineage of passed on stories of the mystical ones in the family, you know, so I guess I was predisposed, definitely.
You were open to receiving these messages.
But that's what I was getting to as well.
It depends what it is. I know that I've gone through periods where I'm not open to receiving certain things, but to be open to receiving the good and to let that flow. And you, in reading the timelessness of your stories in your book and speaking to you over the years, being open to receiving is something that has been consistent with you.
Mm.
And I don't know of an instance where you haven't been.
You're absolutely spot on with this. And that's what I was starting to say, is that my unique orientation as a child with the lineage, with the generosity, with the love, the comfort that I had was part of my fertile ground to help keep me open in some ways. I had to then, over the years, move through, you know, certain phobias and fear of the dark because of the war, you're growing up in the war, you know, so I had to do a lot of work, but I was cradled in a way that, and along with my, just my fate and destiny, I guess, but I had that kind of environment that kept me open enough. And then I brought in my imagination, which was also nurtured by several life experiences, and then started experiencing transcendent moments and certain miracles. All of that together, you know, continued to keep me on track. And it does take courage, and it does take creativity, and it does take resilience for any of us to stay on a path that either we want to be on or is calling us. So, you know, that's why my kind of the tagline with my work these days is the open up, align, focus, and shine. You know, what does it take to open up? What choices do we have to make to open up to a given path or experience, or to how to accept an invitation, you know, to grow into alignment? You know, healing and alignment are often synonymous, because you have to have your innate wisdom and knowledge in alignment with something that's beyond and bigger than what we are to maintain the open-ended resources that we have access to. Anyway, it goes on and on. And then focus, discipline, you know, not being distracted by diversions and fears. And then being brave enough to be on the front lines of change, shine. You know, this is collaboration. This is what you and I are doing right now.
That's the map, the GPS coordinates for manifesting, right?
So there you go. Exactly.
I love that. Open up, align, focus, and shine.
Yes. Yes.
I hope you copywrote that.
Yes, it is. And it's on the back cover of my book. That's like basically the...
First one. Choose, open up. Align, focus, and shine. But if you just assume that you choose, and you just say, open up, align,
focus,
shine,
and shine.
That rhymes,
yes,
a little
because,
bit better.
Because every part, every piece of that, open up, align, focus, shine, is based on choices and follow through. And, you know, so choice is embedded, guided path is embedded. And then just living your story and sharing your story is kind of embedded. That's the journey, at least my journey. choices on a guided path filled with stories to share.
Stories. I know that going through the war in Beirut, and it's such a blessing that your family was able to move away from that and come here. And but storytelling has been proven in studies to help individuals overcome and cope with PTSD. Mm-hmm. And I think that when we talk about PTSD, a lot of people mentally immediately go to veterans of wars, but traumatic experiences of multiple kinds, and there's a whole spectrum, can create a form of trauma and triggers that by nature is defined as PTSD. And it is possible to heal from that. And through the art of storytelling, individuals can find a voice, find an outlet, they can write about it, they can talk about it among peers, among individuals, and that helps them. There are other ways to overcome trauma as well, but that is certainly key, is sharing it.
Absolutely. And it took me many years of a lot of people, friends and clients and peers, asking me, you know, write your book. You have a story to share. And at the time, I was like, you know, who am I and why me? And I had some resistance with it until I really, really grew into the knowing of exactly what you're saying, which is through sharing our stories, we liberate each other to the freedom that we're after, one way or another. And the art and science of storytelling, the beauty of it is you just tell the story. You don't have to interpret or explain. You just deliver and share.
Yeah.
So it is. It's one of the, when I wrote my book and a few readers were helping me during the manuscript phase, just giving me feedback, one of the best recognitions I have had to date, along with, you know, this whole being anointed with ambassadorship of hope and helping, you know, hear voices and deliver, it's when several people said, wow, Iva, you're a writer, you're a storyteller. And I'm like, oh my gosh, yes.
Validation.
Validation that I wasn't even going, like that wasn't the purpose of, you know, writing the book. I wasn't looking for that kind of validation.
I think it's obvious in the paragraph I read earlier in the welcome to my world.
Yes.
That you are, and the way that you share them in a timeless way. I know I asked when you were little and asked about a specific time zone, and I had a feeling you were going to react the way you said. So you know that I had insight in that. But let's talk about energy a bit. And one of the more profound experiences that I know that you've been through has involved your parents, your mom specifically. And you have always had their love and support, obviously. And then through this holistic journey of, you know, you first studied reflexology and then you just added to your wheelhouse and the divine guidance through channeling, et cetera. So tell me about addressing your mom's cancer. Mm. Energetically, and how you helped facilitate her healing.
Just as a quick side note, I have very supportive parents, and they usually and ultimately always come through to support. But I've brought home some pretty wild ideas over the years that it took them a while to chew and digest. Okay, just as a side note, that it's not been a flawless
process, right?
Process with my parents, the parents.
Well, I think set the stage with that when you say you didn't become an architect or a doctor.
and you and I joked about this earlier when I came home and announced that I want to be a clown. And then when the time came to say, no, really, I want to be a reflexologist, they said, wait a minute, what's reflexology? What about clowning? So they kept along the way trying to choose the lesser of both evils, you know, so to speak. Anyway.
Well, those stories are in the book.
So my mother's healing, Kara, this is like such a important conversation for us to have. And I know we're not going to go into all the details today. Maybe we will have the chance to do a follow-up and just focus on how important it is right now for many, many people to know and to be open to the infinite resources for healing that are available and accessible if we so choose. So my mother, this is now, gosh, easily a decade ago, was diagnosed with, at the time, based on one report from a doctor, with aggressive bladder cancer. And very few times you will hear me even use the word cancer because it has such
baggage.
And understandably why.
Right.
It's home for so many people.
There's so much fear.
There is so much fear.
Letter word.
Mm-hmm. And very quickly in our household at the time when we got the news and we're making decisions what to do, mostly it was going to be mom's decision and we would support her. But we all pitched in. We very quickly decided to call them silly cells, to start bringing, you know, a different vibrational experience and open up to different ending to the story than most people usually connect with mm-hmm. cancer. And then I also had been a few years prior to Hippocrates Health Institute in West Palm Beach, Florida, a life changer in every sense of the word. But I had gained direct experience with my own mind, body, spirit, explosive like expansion in understanding nutrition and healing in all ways possible that the average person in the average environment of a healthcare system, which gives a lot of beneficial things, but also lacks in giving complete options. My time at Hippocrates Health Institute became the foundation for the information that I brought to my mother. And I offered it as an invitation. And she's the one who came back and she said, I'll do whatever you say. And it wasn't just me and her. This was every family member with their unique contributions and resourcefulness and then the community, you know. So I don't want in any way this story to come across that it was just me and her. But right now, the things you and I are talking about relate to my part
right.
of her healing. Right. But so really, long story short, she was given a diagnosis, which was very alarming. And the doctor at the time was projecting way prematurely before even a biopsy was done to even confirm that there were abnormal cells. It was just based from a scan where, you know, 95% chance it's this. And if it's in the lining of the bladder, then, you know, this. And then if it's past the lining, we might need to cut out part of your intestines. I mean, fear-based projections that lacked recognition of this human being's, you know, feelings and mortality. And anyway, but that it started with that kind of message. And immediately we brought in the mind, body, spirit. And I know mind, body, spirit has become like a logo cliche these days.
Right.
But it truly was mind, body, spirit, the art and science of each part of who we are. And we immediately brought in, for example, like the highest prescription of nutrition that was completely void of any animal protein, was based on, for those initial weeks of healing, the living raw food, sprouted wheatgrass, basically life force, oxygen, you know, like we just brought.
Well, do you remember the first time I had a private session with you? I came to your home and you had pallets of wheatgrass by the window and by the, you had this big slider door, and that was for your mom. That was at this time.
That's very interesting, Kara. That's why somehow you and I are focused on this today too.
Well, it's,
you know,
and talking about prescriptive nutrition, I want to get back to this. I also want to have our listeners know that there's a physician named Dr. Terry Walls, and she is in Iowa. She wrote a book called Feeding Your Mitochondria. And she had been diagnosed with, as a physician, she'd be your boss. If you come in as a resident or something, in medical school, she'd be the one overseeing you. Well, she had been diagnosed with progressive MS. She had access to other nutritional studies that aren't necessarily mainstream and out there for someone who's non-medical. So she did an extensive research, and through whatever regime of prescription drugs she was supposed to take, she did, but she supplemented with nutrition. And she is convinced that that is what got her back on a bicycle. She went into a wheelchair very, very quickly. She is now fully functional. And her book is very thick. It's filled with recipes. She drinks 7 cups of kale a day. And this kind of heavy duty feeding your mitochondria focus on energy, which is the powerhouse of the cell. And I love what she's been able to do. And so she promotes this other option, and it has become more mainstream. But at the time that you were doing this, and collectively your family deciding you're going to pursue this, and how you had been educated at the Hippocrates Health Clinic in Florida, that experience, I think, came full force. So go back.
Yes.
So you're growing wheatgrass.
But this is, you know, that's again, I'm hoping that I won't miss every important piece of information to anyone listening, to really make sure that this story and what we're talking about is about an all-inclusive experience. Ultimately, it is about integrative medicine. And this is not about, you know, none of this is about pointing fingers saying right or wrong, but approaching it with objective, open-minded, and hopeful mindset that says there are other options that aren't always presented. And it's very important to make room for everything and never, ever to base it on just propaganda, you know, for health. I mean, that was a big, big thing that we all experienced as a family during this process. And so nutrition, and I could go on, and I'm available as an amateur. I'm not a nutritionist, but I have a lot of experience in how I've also changed my lifestyle over the years. So I'm available as a resource, at least for a conversation. But for now, let's say we went to the best possible diet that had nothing we did in the whole mind, body, spirit experience. Nothing had a side effect. Everything had a side benefit. Everything was a life-giving energy. You speak of energy, everything, whether it was a thought, whether to give a different name to an abnormal cell, everything is energy, frequency, vibration, you know, it's music. It's like creating an orchestra, you know, tuning the instruments.
And you didn't want
harmony.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yes. you know, everything. So mind, body, spirit. We had the nourishment, the physical, you know, the food, oxygen, very important. We also got recommendations from the Institute on just the right supplements, you know, just as one quick example, there was a formula of herbs that were bottled, that were given by, it was like a sacred sharing from medicine, ancient wisdom and ancient recipes that were now part of a cutting edge institute that had, you know, turmeric and so many other things. Like it was just a very, the way it was manufactured, produced at what temperature, you know, bioavailable to the body in the best way possible. Zeolite, I didn't know anything about zeolite, but apparently it's when the lava from a volcano meets the ocean water and it creates the chemistry of what is closest to our hemoglobin. And so when you take zeolite, it helps either normalize an abnormal cell or it helps wash it away. You know, it's like the idea is it's possible to rejuvenate a cell or to at least help it with a safe passage out. And the idea is that we are capable of strengthening our immune system and maximizing the white blood cells, you know, the army of light, and to improve the digestive system and distribution of nutrients, all of that in the most beautiful, nourishing way possible. Then also came my mom being open to me as her daughter, the ultimate request in my professional career as a channeler, seer, you know, delivering messages, was my own mother asking for a reading.
Oh, wow.
And me being able to receive the information that I needed to receive without being self-conscious, remembering that I'm not the editor, and just saying it like it is. And that went into the story and history of her bladder and why in the first place maybe she was susceptible. I mean, there are just so many different pieces. Then we had the prayer chains that, you know, people collaborating. We talk about energy. There is no question that when people congregate with same intention and channel love through the heart, that something changes. It's been measured for people out there who want scientific proof. It's been proven over and over again over the eras, you know. So it was a collective experience. My parents, the biggest gift, well, obviously it was all about mom and her healing. But the biggest gift to me is that they were so open to trying so many new things. They were already health conscious and health oriented, but not to that pristine, refined, you know, point in terms of wheatgrass and oxygen. And then they started learning Qigong together. I mean, here are these two on their way to being the wise elders, you know, learning Qigong, going out in nature, hugging trees, doing sun salutations. Mom was listening to recordings by different thought leaders that were introducing the dictionary of quantum energetics. And even if she didn't understand the advanced detail, she absorbed the energy and started like bending her mind, her entire existence, to open up to new ideas. So all of that was happening. And then Dr. Simonton, who I'm pretty sure since then has passed away, but the Simon Cancer Center, I'll have to look up the exact name, but he had a series of cassette tapes at the time. I'm sure they're in CDs and beyond right now, digital format, where as a doctor, as an oncologist, at the time, discovered the power of bedside manner and the emotional healing of his patients, that was as important, if not more, to the healing. So he created guided imagery that specifically guides you on how to release more white blood cells. And, you know, so you can go to resources that, forget talking to angels, forget, like, if that's not your thing, there is a science behind all of these things. ask and you shall receive. If the curiosity is there, the resources are plentiful everywhere.
There's nothing more powerful than the power of possibility.
Absolutely.
So that was feeding your mom's spirit, her mind, and her body.
And let me, you know, I'm now remembering, I haven't, you know, revisited the details of the story in a long time. So in a way, thank you for kind of taking me to that today. When I was in North Carolina before moving back to Indianapolis, my parents live in Indiana. At the time, they were in Greencastle. But point being, I was called. I followed a very strong feeling that I needed to leave North Carolina and come back. And before I left North Carolina, everything in me was to sign up for this conference that was in Chicago soon after my arrival date to Indianapolis. And I wasn't sure why at all at that time, but I signed up my mom for it and basically said, are you interested? Here's the material. Knowing that over the years, we've shared similar interests in progressive paradigms and integrative medicine and all of that. And she looked at it and she goes, oh, it sounds so interesting. I said, is that something you would go to? She's like, yeah. I said, good, because I already have the ticket. We're going. And when we were at that conference is when she was introduced to Neil Donald Walsh, different readers, Greg Braden, who is always to this day top of my list, and so many others. She was, Deepak Chopra had the keynote speech that first evening, and out of all things, he ended up talking about, you know, the cancer cell. And one thing he said that night, if that stayed with me, it's like it took me into this vacuum with him. I felt like he was just talking to me and I didn't know why at the time. But he said something to the effect that, you know, it's very simple. Cancer cell has just forgotten how to die. Just give it back its memory of death. And it's like, wait a minute. Something in me shifted. And I remember hearing this little whisper that says, just remember this feeling. You don't have to understand the information. Just remember this feeling right now. And during that weekend at the conference, my mom, little woman, big bed in the hotel, sheets tucked in tightly, was trying to free up the bed sheet and kind of pulled a muscle in her side. Pulling that muscle, a few days later, once we're home, triggered something in her system. Agitated the bladder. The bladder produced some evidence that we better go to a doctor. Went to the doctor. That's when the scan was taken that reported this diagnosis we're talking about. In the meantime, she was already in the realm of the Greg Bradens and the infinite possibilities and healing. She was already in those juices. So you talk about guided path. You know, we chose to go. I chose to listen. But it still required us saying yes and going and then absorbing, not knowing that something already was delivering an invitation, you know? So all of this, Kara, I mean, like I said, it goes on and on. And one thing in that at the seminar, Greg Braden, out of all examples he could have given to support the content of what he was sharing, he showed a video of a woman who went to her doctor and was reported to have an inoperable bladder tumor. She, at the time, I forget the details of her story, but basically bowed in reverence to the doctor, said, you know, give me my file. I think I'll go elsewhere. Ended up on the table of a group of either monks or shamans. And I apologize for not being more careful with the details, but basically the gist of it is they were doing healing with sound, with sound harmony, like to produce a sound that then entices the physical body to harmonize with the intention to heal. And she was like attached to some kind of abdominal, I think, sonogram or video where it shows you time 0 seconds, the picture of the tumor. And then 6 minutes later, it's almost completely dissolved. My mother watched that, not knowing what was going on in her body. So all of these things, were we guided? How did we end up there? Why at the time? Okay, these are all questions we can have fun in saying, I don't know, but it happened. And then, you know, here we are. So I'm going to wrap this story up because it's important to report that from the time she got her diagnosis, and by the time paperwork, appointments, trying to get into a specialist that's high in demand was about an 8-week period. In those first 6 weeks, solid, we hit the ground running. We applied the protocol, you know, that I alluded to with so much more, basically. And I remember one night in the middle of the night, I had a very, very powerful mystical experience with the light, and I received the message that she's been healed. This is not something that's easy to report or claim, but also cannot be denied. So I pretty much kept it to myself. 2 weeks later, we're in the specialist's clinic. He does a biopsy because he wanted to evaluate for himself before plan of action. Comes back a few days later with a phone call that says, I didn't see anything. I barely saw a speck of something. I went ahead and cauterized it. So not every story has to have this ending. It's not a right or wrong to heal in a different way. This is not a judgment on anyone else. But it's my mother's story, and it's my shared story with her, and we were meant to experience it in order to be a voice that at least presents this option, that it is possible. And it rocked my world. It altered me to this day. I'm still a little disoriented from it.
I think that's a beautiful way to phrase it, because you're not taking this experience for granted. Mm-hmm. You identify that you facilitated it, and the enormity of it at the same time is felt. And that's one of many transcendent moments that you've experienced. I think you should consider your next book to be called A Life of Synchronicities. Dive in deeper in some of these stories. And this, there are reasons why I wanted you to share this about your mom. It's not given a ton of pages in your book, and I know there is a lot to it.
So here's the thing. Private matters are only worthy of being shared when they are to give hope and to inspire change and to offer comfort. If only one other person out there gets something from this, it's served its purpose. I can quietly, and I do with many things, quietly and privately celebrate endless experiences. And I've made peace a few years ago in confidently sharing these stories and this information, because it has this purpose for collective progress, I hope. Right now, we're not going to talk too much about what 2020 has been. And it's not just the pandemic of 2020, because there have been several pandemics ongoing in our human race and our human experience, all of them worthy of attention and all of them worthy of hope and forward movement. But now more than ever, I hope many more of us come together and at least have dialogues about these options.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's important to share. I rely on miracles.
Yes.
I'm grateful for all of them and I rely on them. And it's a daily occurrence. Many, many things happen around me, to me, in my life that I am super profoundly grateful for. And I celebrate each and every one of those, but I rely on them and I count on them.
And they come in wide varieties, don't they? Some of them, like the story we just shared, yeah, it's miraculous, but there's a little bit of a formula to it. If we choose choice as a miracle in the first place, mm-hmm. you know? But there are some miracles, and boy, you and I can really like bounce back and forth with the exchanging experiences we've each had, I'm sure. But some of them are so mind-bending that are seem so far out of reach, yet cannot be denied that they happen. And I've had a few of those.
Yeah, I've heard someone say that once your mind is expanded, it can't be restricted.
Absolutely. It's like you pull the plug and the plug disappears. You can't, you know, it's it. You've stepped into a commitment and a mindset that has its own resources. Mm-hmm. So it's very exciting.
It's very exciting. We need to continue this conversation. And
oh my goodness.
It's a delight speaking with you. I know we're seeing each other. This is audio only, but it's so wonderful to see your beautiful face and to listen to you share. And I'm so grateful. So grateful for you.
Kara, it's mutual. It's always been this way. Instant magnetism when we met, and it feels like it's just the beginning, and I'm fine with that. Let's see what's next. One thing that I'd like to mention, I wasn't even planning on sharing this, but speaking of resources in like how to open up and maybe communicate with matching innate wisdom with other voices, I call it from the beyond. There's actually a class that I teach one-on-one or in groups called Wireless Communication, Dialogue with the Divine. So next time we talk, we'll pick up on this idea on technology of love, on a life of shimmering possibilities.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Kara.
Iva's course on wireless communication, Dialogue with the Divine, can be found on her website. Links to her site can be found in the notes, and her name is Ivanasr. Thank you for listening to Finding Joy with Kara. Iva is a very, very dear friend, soul sister, part of my tribe, and I'm so grateful to have her in my life. Our conversation will definitely be continuing. And I'd like to close with a paragraph from her book, Rifles to Roses, Memories and Miracles. And this paragraph she wrote in close of the story about her mom's miraculous healing from cancer. My father, mother, and I smiled with tears in our eyes. We were speechless in exceptional wonderment and with an offering of recognition that went beyond words and obvious gratitude. Minutes later, we had 3 phone lines going to everyone we could think of calling with the great news, of course starting with my siblings and their beloveds. To me, it was like a press room running a last-minute cover story before sunrise, bringing to the world great tidings of hope and the renaissance of a quantum leap, a manifesto of actualized human potential. I strongly recommend Iva's book. If you have any spark or wish to believe in miracles, you will certainly not doubt that they exist after absorbing her words that she has so thoughtfully written and shared with us. Thank you again, and please continue on your journey to finding joy.